Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Got a really good show lined up today. We're going to have Buddy Martin, since it's Tuesday. We're going to have him at the back portion of the program. We're going to be joined about 8:10 with Alex Marvez from SiriusXM NFL Radio. But in the meantime, till Alex joins us, we have a special guest who skipped out on us yesterday. JC, good morning. How are you?
Hey, QB. Glad to be back with you today. Had a little dentist procedure yesterday. Was unaware of, and then you get that text message literally the day before or the night before, and boom, you get reminded that you have to go somewhere. So,
did you have any cavities?
No cavities. But when they did my numbers, my back wisdom tooth caught a couple fives, and that's not a good news. That's not good. So, gotta get those wisdom teeth flossed.
We haven't talked to you in quite some time.
Well, Friday.
Yeah, so we're going to talk NFL a lot today, and you're a huge Rams fan for whatever reason.
Rams.
But let's talk quickly about Matthew Stafford going to the Rams. Do you think they gave up too much? I've said from day one, Matt Stafford is one of the top five, maybe definitely top 10 quarterbacks in the league. Been on a bad franchise. I equate him to Bradley Beal, former Gator. And I'm going to give you an NBA update right here, because a lot of Gators probably don't realize this. He is your leading scorer in the NBA, Bradley Beal, but he's on a horrible team. But he is a phenomenal player. Your thoughts on the Matt Stafford trade?
I think it's a good move by the Rams. Good on them. They are trying to win today to now. We're not going to talk about 2 years from now what they gave up for that. And, yes, they gave up two first-round picks, a third-round pick. But they also offloaded Jared Goff's contract, which means if and for the Lions, this works out great, too, because if Jared Goff doesn't do so well in the next 2 years, all that money comes off. That guaranteed money comes off, and they can move on from him there. But they'll give him at least 2 years to see how he does. So I think he'll do well in Detroit because it's an indoor environment. I think he'll do fine. But Matthew Stafford is a great pickup for the Rams and good for them, because this is who they need to get the ball downfield, not to turn it over, to get the offense on the scoreboard. Goff did fine in many cases, but his problem was he fumbled the ball too many times. He threw interceptions. He was not consistent. And even though they got to the Super Bowl with him, they won the NFC West 1 year with him, and they've been to the playoffs, I think, just about every year except one with him. They wanted more. They wanted a franchise guy, a guy who can end his career in L.A. Stafford has a house in Los Angeles. Stafford is very close friends with Clayton Kershaw, who is also a buddy from Texas that he grew up with. So this works out for his family. I think it's going to be fine for the Rams. They have a good offensive line. They can run the ball with Akers. They can run the ball, and they can also get the ball downfield with Woods and Cooper Kupp. I think it's going to work out great for everybody. That play action fake is going to work out great for the Rams. I think it's going to be a good. I think it works. It's a great deal for both teams. Now, the Rams, again, are giving up draft picks. This is what they've done. They have not had a first-round draft pick since 2015 or 2016, something like that. But they are competing and getting into the playoffs nonetheless. And a lot of times, first-round draft picks don't always work out. We know this, right? So you know about Matthew Stafford. You know what you're getting. You're unloading that awful contract that you gave Jared Goff that puts you really into some dead money territory. Marvez, I'm sure, can tell you about this, but they're getting rid of that money. They're getting rid of that contract, and Matthew Stafford, I think, should do great in L.A.
We got a text here on the Titan Mark text line. It says, good morning, Shane. I saw that Texas Tech beat Oklahoma 57-52. I guess they do play defense in the Big 12. Have you seen a worse call from the quote, flop called on Appleby Saturday? He should have made a plus one for a possible four-point play, and instead it was called for a foul. Thankfully, Florida overcame it. But that was a pitiful, especially considering it was the top of the key and isolated and not on a big scrum that can be harder on the rest. No, I agree. That was a horrible call. You know, they're calling now when guys shoot threes and they kind of kick their leg out.
Yeah.
The old Reggie Miller move. They call that on the offense. But Appleby was in his normal shooting motion, and it should have been a 4-point play. We got a couple of Facebook Lives brought to you by Melton Law, where you matter most, and the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. John says, it was reported that McVay went after Aaron Rodgers first, but got Stafford second. Not a bad plan B.
No, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those guys. Aaron Rodgers would have been a real coup, but that's a huge contract they're picking up. Stafford's is not little by any stretch, but I think the years on those contracts are different. But I think the biggest thing for the Rams is that they got a proven guy, but they also got rid of a lot of money that was killing them with Jared Goff's contract. And did they give him that contract? Sure, they gave him that contract, but they didn't get what I think they wanted out of him. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't great. I think they want great. They got the new stadium. They're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous.
Oh, and how about Noah Locke on Noah Locke Saturday with 16 points? I mean, that game Saturday, just switching gears to that West Virginia performance, was probably one of the best they've had this year. And West Virginia gets after you. That big center had 28 points, but Castleton was great. Florida is hot right now. And, you know, with
I heard that Joe Lunardi had him as a 4 seed.
That is a little bit of a stretch, but who would know better than us, wouldn't he? I mean, this is his livelihood, but that's awfully high. I think the thing is that he sees how they're playing right now, and the trend is going well for Florida. Give Mike White a lot of credit for being able to overcome losing the best player they had and being able to get these guys to respond, and they have. I love the way Mann and Noah Locke have taken over at the guard position. They've played great, and Appleby hasn't been bad either. So, Castleton has done his thing, and I think the Gators, with an expected win over South Carolina, can keep this thing rolling, no question, tomorrow night.
At Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. This month, get a free annual maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchase, $199 value. Service department's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your convenience. JC,
yeah,
you know what happened this day in sports in 2020?
Was it a Super Bowl? Well, let's see. This day.
Yep, the Super Bowl at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 31-20. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes was your MVP, and that was the Chiefs' first victory in 50 years in the Super Bowl. And
yeah, their fan base is just as rabid as anybody's in the NFL, and it's really a shame the stadium won't be full, but they'll have a lot of folks in there nonetheless. But to have Tom Brady at home hosting this Super Bowl, and we can hit on this before the end of the week, but boy, Kansas City, their whole franchise has changed with Patrick Mahomes, and they've become a team now that is going to be looked upon if they can back up these Super Bowl wins. The same way you look at the Steelers, the same way you look at the Cowboys, the same way you look at the Redskins, the same way you look at the 49ers, because when you can back up a Super Bowl and then have the potential to continue with this kid that they've got playing, this great quarterback, they could become a dynasty as well with Andy Reid. So, a lot of it depends on health. They won't have an offensive lineman. I think they lost Eric Fisher. They won't be available for this game at left tackle. But, you know, the way he plays, he can make up for a lot of those shortfalls.
Well, JC, we appreciate you joining us briefly this morning. We will talk Super Bowl with you on Friday, get our picks.
Yep.
Be safe out there. We're going to take a first time out of the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by Alex Marvez talking a little NFL. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Melton Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Ava and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Harder Apparel, Ruse Ogre Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all our great sponsors that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. At Center State Bank, we put business first. We're the largest community bank in the state of Florida. And understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations to serve you better. Center State Bank, member FDIC. We're now going to go back to the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. We're joined by Alex Marvez, the host of the Sirius XM NFL show. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Shane, doing great. Great to see your face via Zoom this morning. Hope all is well with you, and hopefully that gator photo in the background does not come to life and eat you while we are doing this interview.
That is very, very true. Well, Alex, I know you're a busy man, but first, before we get into the Super Bowl, since you're an NFL analyst, I just had JC on. He's a huge Rams fan, so we had to talk about the Matt Stafford. I've always thought Matt Stafford was one of the best, most talented quarterbacks in the league, just needed to find a new home. He found a new place. I think it's a perfect fit for him. Do you like this trade, or did the Rams give up way too much?
I don't think the Rams gave up too much. I think initially, remember, they signed Jared Goff to a contract extension 2 years ago that he hasn't started collecting on. Think about that and how much he has fallen out of favor since then. And this may give some teams reticence to start doing contracts after a player has completed their third NFL season in 3 years into a 5-year mandatory rookie contract for first round picks, because clearly things went awry with Jared Goff. You know, the fact that the Rams were able to get out from under his contract, even though they are taking, they're going to carry $41 million, on their salary cap, toward quarterbacks. And that includes the dead money hit for Jared Goff. Even though they had this huge number, at least they were able to move on from this contract. And listen, now we're going to get our questions answered about Matthew Stafford. Right? I mean, because for years we could blame a lot of things in Detroit. We could blame bad culture. We could blame a bad offensive line at times. We could blame and something that was true throughout his 12-year NFL career there, the lack of a consistent running game. But now those things are all gone. And so now it's on Matthew Stafford, who doesn't turn 34, I believe, until Super Bowl Sunday, to show that, yeah, he can be that guy with a change of scenery. Listen, first round picks too, I get it from a Rams standpoint. This is how you're supposed to build your team, but they are very confident in their scouts to find gems in rounds 2 through 7 and undrafted college free agents to help compensate. And the way the Rams see it is they're going to be picking late in the first round anyway. Those are basically just glorified second round picks to them. They'd rather have Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. Sticking with the quarterbacks before we get to the Super Bowl, what do you think is going to happen with Deshaun Watson?
That's a zillion-dollar question, right? And maybe it'll take $1 zillion in draft pick compensation to get him out of Houston as well, Shane. And that's the thing. You know, can this Texans front office, who's not in a hurry to do anything, okay? Matthew Stafford is gone now. And it doesn't appear that the Jets are going to be in the market to trade Sam Darnold, at least at the moment. But unless there's another quarterback who gets placed on the trading block, I don't think Houston is in a rush to do anything until the start of free agency in March, in which case they need to have a plan, how they're going to proceed. During that time, is there a way for Deshaun Watson to mend fences with this Texans organization? Can they tell him something that he wants to hear? Can it be his new head coach, David Culley, who apparently he had a good relationship with when they were together at the Pro Bowl, and, someone that brings a lot of expertise to the table? I mean, 65 years old, he's been coaching for a long time, getting his first opportunity as a head coach. And the other thing is there a team that's basically willing to give up, first-round picks galore? And we're talking potentially high picks to get Deshaun Watson. I think if you're the Carolina Panthers, you have this discussion. I think if you're the New York Jets, even with the number 2 overall pick, if you're sticking with Sam Darnold, then I think, if you're not sticking with Sam Darnold, rather, then I think that's a conversation to have as well, and see if Darnold is a player that the Texans are interested in. Same thing with the Miami Dolphins. Basically, any team that lost out on Matthew Stafford is going to be having a conversation about whether they should offer a bounty of draft picks and potentially personnel as well for Deshaun Watson services.
Do you think the Dolphins are happy with Tua?
They're in for a penny, in for a pound, right? And, a lot of speculation about who was it that signed off on the Tua Tagovailoa pick. Was it general manager Chris Greer? Was it Brian Flores driving that train? Or was this a matter of Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, saying this is the guy that I want, a la what Daniel Snyder would sometimes do with his Washington football team, coming in and saying, well, this is the player I want you to draft, i.e. Dwayne Haskins, and then having to work with that. And then obviously that didn't go anywhere in less than two seasons with the Washington football team. So I don't know what, even Tua himself admits he's not happy with his rookie year. The big question is, can you surround him with another playmaker? And Devontae Smith of Alabama is a real intriguing one with the number three overall pick. Reunite those college teammates, give Tua a little bit more firepower, and just hope that he grows from the experience that he had in year one to year two. But I think if you're the Dolphins, you have to have that talk with all these picks that they, extra picks that they have, incidentally enough, from the Houston Texans. Is it worth sending them back to start anew at quarterback with Deshaun Watson, a proven thing, had the best season ever for a quarterback who played on a team with double-digit losses? And I'm not trying to give that as a backhanded compliment. He was fantastic. It just makes it that much more remarkable that the Houston Texans didn't win more games last season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can't remember if we've spoken with you since Urban's taken the job with the Jaguars. How do you think Urban's going to do? And obviously, I think it's going to help him having a guy like Trevor Lawrence be his first pick.
You mean this guy, right?
That's him, that guy.
Yeah, with that shameless Buddy Martin plug. And by the way, that's a gift I'm giving to Tony Khan tomorrow, a little housewarming gift when I go to All Elite Wrestling. So he has his new head coach, and he's absolutely thrilled that Urban Meyer is in the building. You know, listen, Urban Meyer has been a winner everywhere that he has gone, and he is one of the great college football coaches. Understand, I do have some skepticism about Urban, whether the success is going to translate to the pros. Is he going to be able to relate to players that he just can't trade out every year, right? I mean, that's the thing, the joy of college football, as Nick Saban found out. If you recruit well, if you don't like a player who was in your previous recruiting class, you just move on from them. Well, that's not the case in the NFL. You have commitments to the salary cap, and you've got to be able to do that. You wonder, too, is the coaching staff that he's assembling, are these the right guys? You know, that you're talking about Daryl Bevel, Brian Schottenheimer on the offensive side of the football. How good do we feel about that triumvirate in the development of Trevor Lawrence, who is almost assuredly going to be the number one pick? But listen, there's reason for excitement in Jacksonville, because if Urban Meyer is committed to this job and sticks around for a little bit to see this rebuild through, for the first time ever, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have a true franchise quarterback at their disposal. That's nine-tenths of the battle in the NFL, right? Getting that guy. So I think that's a really exciting thing, you know, for Jaguars fans. I mean, listen, there's hope, and there wasn't hope the past couple seasons on Florida's First Coast.
Has Urban hired someone to call plays yet? I haven't really heard.
Yeah, it'll be Daryl Bevel coming over.
Daryl Bevel, okay.
Lions, yep. And, you know, it's interesting. The past two Seattle offensive coordinators who were fired by Pete Carroll are coming to Jacksonville. And I think both have chips on their shoulder. Daryl Bevel obviously was the guy, on second and dumb at the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 49, calling the Marshawn Lynch, or didn't call the Marshawn Lynch run play, ended up with the pass that Malcolm Butler intercepted. But he has since shown that he's a quality coach. And Brian Schottenheimer, for a while there, that Seahawks offense was really hot last year throwing the football. Unfortunately for them, teams figured that out. They never got the running game back on track. And Pete Carroll said, this is not the direction I want to go. By the way, Brian Schottenheimer will be the quarterback's coach as well for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So more University of Florida representation for the Jags.
Good for Shotty. I didn't know he got that job. We got a Facebook Live brought to you by Melton Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. Rick wants to know, is J.J. Watt leaving the Texans?
Yeah, I would think so. And a lot of that is just salary cap related. You know, when you're talking about a player in his early 30s who's part of a major rebuild here with a new administration, and as appreciated as J.J. Watt is in the Texans organization, let's be honest here. I think J.J. Watt wants to win a Super Bowl. He hasn't even made it to an AFC title game during what's going to likely be a Pro Football Hall of Fame career. So I think that in J.J. Watt's case, maybe a change of scenery will do him good, even though he is so committed to the city of Houston and that Texans organization. They're not going to be good for a while. Even with all these picks, you're going to be starting new at quarterback. There's so much that has to be cleaned up there. And the Texans, they have some salary cap issues. They will take a salary cap hit if Deshaun Watson is traded. And J.J. Watt, in the final year of his deal at $17.5 million, you clear up that cap room if you move on from him. The problem is the Texans defense is terrible with J.J. Watt on it. How much worse do they get if he goes? And who's going to rush the passer? That makes it a tough deal. So what can the Texans get as far as trade value for J.J. Watt? That could very well dictate as well whether he's with this team.
We're speaking with Alex Marvez. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex Marvez. All right, let's switch gears to the Super Bowl. Man, what a matchup. I think this is what everybody wanted to see, Mahomes versus Brady. You know, Alex, I may be crazy, but I really believe Patrick Mahomes is going to break Tom Brady's records getting to Super Bowls. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. This is his third year starting, year one starting. He loses in overtime to the Patriots, or he would be going to his third straight Super Bowl. I've just never seen anybody like this kid. Am I crazy thinking that he could go to more than 10 Super Bowls?
No, you're not. And, you know, of course, the Chiefs have to keep a team around him. And in the salary cap era, that can be a little difficult, right? I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he is tethered to the Chiefs with that 12-year contract that he signed, in 2020. But at some point, players get a little bit older. How do you find replacements for them? I mean, look what happened to Tom Brady in New England as the team around him disintegrated, right? I mean, he could only do so much there. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you talk about rarefied air. Shane, he's trying to become the first quarterback age 25 to have two Super Bowl victories to his credit. The only other quarterback who has won two Super Bowls under the age of 27 would be a 26-year-old Tom Brady, by the way, who did so in Super Bowl 38 with the Patriots against the Carolina Panthers. But with Mahomes, I mean, this is the thing, too, talking to Bruce Arians about this on my SiriusXM NFL radio show, and a lot of talk has been made, okay, Kansas City missing their two starting tackles. So this is bad news for the Chiefs offense, right? The way Arians sees it is, listen, the guy can still drift back 10, 11 yards to avoid pressure and has the arm strength and the placement to be able to get the ball downfield like nothing's happening. That's the thing about it. It's this unique skill set matched with the intelligence of Patrick Mahomes, knowing where he wants to go with the football, and all of these targets that are fast and reliable and mismatches. That's the thing. So I think it's not out of the realm of possibility. But first, you got to crawl before you can walk, before you can run. Let's see if they can get past the Buccaneers on Sunday.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, I really thought the Packers would beat the Bucs, but it looked like to me, you know, Brady played really well in the first half, stunk it up in the second half, but the Bucs defense was outstanding. They pressured Rodgers, you know, losing their all-pro tackle a couple weeks ago with the ACL hurt them. Do you think that gives the Bucs a very good chance of winning? Because you said the Chiefs are going to miss both their starting tackles. And didn't I read somewhere, is it their center or somebody else may possibly be out due to COVID? Because I know DeMarcus Robinson.
He's a backup center. And also, okay. Fellow Gator, DeMarcus Robinson. They are on the COVID reserve list. And NFL Network reporting this morning, and I'm not making this up, Shane, this is the pandemic world we live in. One of the Chiefs' barbers tested positive for COVID while he was cutting hair. And it was Daniel Kilgore, the backup center who was in the barber's chair when this happened. Wow. So he was exposed to someone with COVID. Thus, he has to stay on this list. Hopefully, he'll continue to test negative and be eligible to go on Sunday. But it is a razor-thin Kansas City offensive line. No question about that. Listen, Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, they provide such great outside pressure. And then you throw in Devin White with those blitzes. And, man, and Levante David, they send him as well. But they've got to come up with some better game plan as far as their secondary goes than what they had against, Kansas City in Week 12. I mean, Shane, Tyreek Hill had 203 receiving yards in the first quarter. Flipper Anderson was having heart palpitations. He didn't want to see his NFL single-game receiving record broken by halftime. So how do you contain Tyreek Hill, especially with a secondary that's not known for having blazing speed? And I wouldn't say that there's a shutdown corner on this roster. Listen, all six of their top defensive backs are age 24 and under. So it's really promising as they continue to move forward. But I don't know how you contain the cheetah. And if you try to double team him, you're opening things up for Travis Kelce, who, by the way, caught all eight of his targets against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Week 12. And I believe has now gone 10 straight games with at least seven catches, and it caused at least one touchdown pass in eight of the past 10 games. And when you get beyond him, there's Mecole Hardman. Sammy Watkins is going to be back. And let's not forget the running game as well. So, yes, Tampa Bay's defense potentially could affect this offensive line, but there's a lot of weapons for Patrick Mahomes if they can just buy him a little bit of time to do something with the football.
Yeah, and the switch, Scott, let's talk a little bit about Tom Brady. His story is remarkable at his age doing what he's doing, but I personally think he's got better talent around him than he probably ever had. I mean, do you think he can pull this off? And I mean, it will be a wonderful story, but, you know, like I said, I didn't think they would beat the Packers. I felt like the Packers didn't give it to them, but their issues on offense, the Tampa defense won that game. Can Tom Brady win this Super Bowl?
Oh, I think he can. You know, and you talk about the weapons, you know, from Mike Evans to Chris Godwin, who had five catches for 110 yards in that NFC Championship game. You still got Gronkowski sneaking out of the backfield when he isn't blocking Cameron Brake catching the football. Let's not forget, too, Antonio Brown will be back for this game. They've gotten healthier there. Ronald Jones will continue to be on the mend from the injuries he's dealt with. Leonard Fournette's become a bigger force for them, you know, to help provide that balance to the Tampa Bay offense that has been so key to what it is that they're doing. So with Brady, this is such rarefied air, Shane. And it's interesting that we're talking about a contemporary of yours. I mean, you guys, your careers overlap in the NFL. Tom Brady can do something that no player, not only in the NFL, has ever done, but Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL. And that is win two world championships in their respective leagues while over the age of 40. He did it with the Patriots, Super Bowl 53. He can do it with the Bucks in Super Bowl 55. Shane, just an unbelievable career for Tom Brady. And now the question becomes, is he the greatest team athlete that there's ever been if he wins a Super Bowl and gets his seventh world championship ring? Amazing, amazing stuff.
It really is. We got another text here on the Titan MR hotline. It comes from Larry. Larry wants to know, Alex, why can't Eric Bieniemy get a head coaching job?
I think Eric's interviews have just not impressed teams. I don't think teams go in saying, we don't want to hire Eric Bieniemy. I think that he's got to make some changes maybe in his interview style. I also think, too, from what my sources have told me, some of the staff choices, and that's a big deal, have just not been impressive. So if he doesn't give you that presence that he's going to be able to, you know, assemble a good staff and questions about maybe his command of the team, I think those are the things that I think are hurting Eric Bieniemy. Listen, and I'm an EB fan. I covered him with the Cincinnati Bengals back in the mid-1990s, and we've been friends ever since. And I don't like saying these words, but that's just the reality of where we're at. And that's, you know, I don't believe it's a minority hiring issue, even though some folks may want to say that that's the case. I can't speak for owners that pass on Eric Bieniemy. I would hope that none do that for that reason. But being said, I just think Eric, maybe in the offseason, when it comes to this, maybe needs to talk to some folks, change his approach a little bit on some of these interviews to get his foot in the door. And one more thing working against him and Todd Bowles that I want to point out, teams don't want to wait for assistant coaches on Super Bowl staffs. They're afraid that they're going to miss out on great assembling the best assistant coaches who are currently available, that they're all going to have jobs elsewhere by the time a head coach, you know, your new head coach becomes available coming off of a Super Bowl. Can the NFL change that? It's a good question, because that's what Todd Bowles said. He pulled out of the Detroit interview that he had scheduled for them because he said it just seemed to me like this was a team that didn't want to wait to hire their head coach.
Interesting. I don't know how much you follow the Senior Bowl. I didn't really follow it at all. But how important were those practices in that game this year since there is no combine?
I've got it on my DVR, Shane. I'm going to be watching it as we move past the Super Bowl. I'm going to get my football fixed there. I did watch some Hula Bowl, by the way, on Sunday night on my phone, because for some reason, DirecTV, not airing CBS Sports Network, but I digress. Anyway, my point, though, is that the recent Senior Bowl was a huge evaluation tool because you had one-on-one drills. You were able to see, you know, for example, small school players, how do they stack up against players from bigger schools, you know, things like that. And, of course, for the teams drafting, the Miami Dolphins and Carolina Panthers, ones that are coaching and are going to be able to, you know, select from these young men, you're able to find out, okay, who is it that is teachable? Who do we like? Who maybe are we a little concerned about? Did we see some things in these practices that turn us off? It's an invaluable tool for them. But just having that opportunity to see game competition in these practice drills is so significant because, Shane, we are not going to have a traditional combine. It is just pro days that are taking place. And that's going to provide for a very different type of evaluation for this group of players in the 2021 selection process.
And having said that, what are you hearing? Because Kadarius Toney supposedly had a really good week at the combine. I mean, at the Senior Bowl. Do you think he can slip into the first round?
Potentially. You know, the problem with wide receiver, Shane, and this is sort of proven historically true, unless you are a significant difference maker, it's often better to wait until rounds two, rounds three, to draft a wide receiver simply because of the fact that you don't have as many offensive linemen and defensive linemen at a blue chip type level, you know, as the draft unfolds. The bigs are harder to get. So that's the thing, you know, with, you know, with Tony. Look, but I mean, obviously, great career with the Florida Gators. We'll see as things settle in a little bit, as the draft analysts do their work, and as we sort of get a sweet spot for these players, I would think that there's a possibility late first round of him going. Another player I'm really intrigued to watch, and by the way, it's so unfortunate that he was unable to participate in the recent Senior Bowl, is Kyle Trask. Mm-hmm. And he had an ankle injury that kept him out. We knew that he was playing hurt during the 2020 season for the Gators. I am just a Kyle Trask fan. I think that he can be a successful starter in the NFL. I think he's going to end up being a steal probably in round two. But if there's a team that has a quarterback need that's looking for one that gets out of round one without having addressed the position, I think Kyle Trask should be your guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, before we let you go, who wins the Super Bowl?
I'm going with Kansas City. The Mahomes factor to me is just too great. I don't know how Tampa Bay stops them on defense. I really don't. And one thing to note here, the Buccaneers, and I got the stat from Mike Tannenbaum, I always credit, but the former general manager putting on Twitter that in the Bucs' seven-game winning streak, they have blitzed the quarterback more times than any team in the NFL, the highest blitz percentage in the league. Patrick Mahomes, the best in the NFL against the blitz. His passer rating is 134.2 this past season. He has historically proven the best as well since 2018. I'll see what Todd Bowles has in his hat, but I just think Kansas City ultimately scores too much points, and they keep the Bucs from being the first team to win a Super Bowl in their home stadium.
I agree with you 100%. Let everybody know how they can listen to your show and check you out on All Elite Wrestling.
All right, SiriusXM NFL Radio. I'm on usually at night, but I do host the Tailgate Show on Super Bowl Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern with Bill Polian. Please tune in on Channel 88. I'll be with Max Starks, by the way, on Friday night. Go Gators.
Big Max. Tell him I said hello.
I promise that I will. 8 to 11 then. I'm on tonight, 7 to 11 p.m. with Kirk Morrison. We'll have Tom Flores among our guests joining us, and he's up, obviously, for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern with Tim Brown. And then All Elite Wrestling will be live Wednesday night. Beach break coming up. Huge show. Tune in TNT, 8 o'clock Eastern time. I'll be there taping our show for the following week on Thursday. And I know it's a show called Beach Break, and it's Jacksonville, and it is absolutely freezing. This is sometimes what happens when you can't control the weather.
Alex, great stuff as always, my man. Be safe, and we appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Shane. Anytime for you. Go Gators.
That's Alex Marvez. Join us on the Titan More Hotline. We're going to take our last time out of the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by good old Buddy Martin from the Buddy Martin Show. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Darlene Weeby Realtor Caldwell Banker M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Mia Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Aikido America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TV Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Dar Shakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all our great sponsors that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate, with premium brands like Bass Pro Shop, Nike, Sensei, Dave & Buster's, opening soon Prime and Pearl, and coming spring of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go back to the Titan MR Hotline and head on down to Ocala to our good friend, good old Buddy Mark. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. How you doing today? I'm a fine Tuesday. I'm a brand new man. I got my second shot. I'm ready to go.
There you go. You also got to sleep in today. You didn't have to kick off the program. Got a little extra sleep.
You know, I wish that were true, but that's not true. I got up at the same time, but nonetheless, I got a little more time. Yeah.
All right. So, buddy, now you can get, you've been hibernating for about 8 months now. You can get outside and do some things, right?
Try 11 months. 11 months. Coming up on the 13th of next month to be a year.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. It is. But hey, you got to do what you got to do. And I'm glad to be back. Happy to have, thanks to Rose. I carry her picture around. She gave me my shot yesterday for giving me a vaccination. And us old people really appreciate it. So it's good. And I hope a lot more can get vaccinated. And I hope they take advantage of the opportunity. Because as a woman said to me yesterday, this final thought, in line as we were waiting, we waited about 30 minutes. I complained a little bit, not much. And she said, hey, at least we're getting the vaccine. And a whole bunch of people are not. So I'm grateful for that.
Very true. Well, buddy, tomorrow's National Signing Day. It used to be a big deal. I don't even know if the Gators are going to ink anybody tomorrow because I think they have most of their guys on campus. Got any thoughts? Do you like this having two different signing days?
Well, yes and no. It's a lot easier. It's not as bad as have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and wait for the faxes to come in, which I've done at Florida a number of years. And, you know, trying to get that information. I'm of the school that maybe we should cool off a little bit on some of that stuff because I think it's kind of overrated. I know it's exciting for people. I don't begrudge them of that. But by the same token, you and I are of the school that get them on the field, put them in the pads, so look at them, we'll be able to tell you, you know, what we think about them. And I think that's really where this program is and where this program excels is getting people through the transfer portal, as Mullen has done again, getting them on campus, getting them trained up, getting them schooled up, you know, developing them and watching them grow into ball players. Now, you know that better than anybody. Your son's on that roster. I'm not saying it's all perfect, but yes, to answer your question, I'm okay with it being two. It's a little bit less exciting, but that's all right. So I'm good with this. I like it the way it is. I had to be reminded it was National Signing Day number two. I forgot.
Yeah. I know that you've interviewed one of the Gator recruits. I don't know if he's on campus or if he's signing tomorrow. I think he's already signed, but I don't know if he's an early enrollee. Jake Slaughter from Trinity Catholic there. Is he on campus already, buddy?
No, he's not. He won't be. He'll not be an early reporter. He stayed in to finish up his high school experience, which I think is not, you know, enjoy it. Go to the prom, yeah. Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Not everybody needs to be there. He's going to be a redshirt anyway. I got to tell you, though, I had a chance to spend some time with him yesterday and last night, and John Bradley was scheduled to be on and couldn't seem to resolve the issues of tech issues we had. And so I just had Jake Slaughter. I said, yeah, here's me and Bradley trying to figure this out. There's a couple of 5-beta kappas on stuff like that. But anyway, Jake Slaughter impressed me a lot more than I expected to be impressed. And, you know, I've interviewed a lot of kids over my many years. And, you know, and sometimes you have an instinct about a young man. I kind of got an instinct about him, not just because he played at Trinity, but he's got all the good stuff. I happen to know some people that know him pretty well. I didn't realize at the time, but Jake Slaughter is a smart guy. To win the Scott Bradley Trophy, you just don't have to be a good football player. You got to be really good at academics. Got to be good at leadership. You got to be good. There's a factor in their loyalty. You can't have a guy going to 5 schools in 5 years. That's factored in the selection. I didn't select him. It was selected by the Ocala Quarterback Club, Mike McGinnis and Todd and those guys did that. But my instinct tells me, I don't know why, I see this as a guy who will start at center for 3 years. And I think he's smart. He's great. He, you know, you make those calls at center. You know that. You have to have a guy who makes the calls. I just think he's 6'4", right now, about 295. You know, good-sized kid. I don't know how fast he is, but he won't be a 5-star. But, yeah, he's coming in there. And, of course, they lost a guy. I guess his name was Adrian Strickland. I don't even know his name. But he was a lineman. And I guess you go on these message boards, you get all this stuff back and forth from fans, which gives me a headache, by the way. And everybody said, hey, you lost this guy. Turns out, apparently, Mullen pulled a scholarship because he decided he wanted to go to visit for LSU. This is a story I'm reading. And that maybe his academics were not world class. I don't know. So they pull that scholarship. I guess that gave them room for him. Now, none of that really matters. They've got their players in school, and they got the number one prospect at tight end in America. And I can't wait to see what this guy looks like. Eric Gilbert, who they say, I won't dare say he's another Kyle Pitts. I don't think we'll ever see another Kyle Pitts, but he's very similar. And boy, he sure lit it up at LSU. And I know Georgia and Alabama were all in on him when he went to LSU. And he's a five-star, another five-star Mullen gets. I call him slightly used five stars. So, yeah, recruiting is not quite what it used to be from that standpoint. But, look, it's like free agency in baseball. You know, it's always you can get a player anytime. So I think it more than offsets it. You and I have talked about this a lot. That's my opinion.
Well, Eric Gilbert, I'll tell you, buddy, he is a freak athlete, extremely talented. I remember early in the year last year watching LSU. I was like, who is that number two? And he was making plays. He's different than Kyle Pitts. He's extremely athletic. I mean, he's about 250, can run, looks like a wide receiver. And he will be our top tight end. There's no question about it. He is that talented. I was told he was the highest rated tight end in the recruiting ranks in the history of recruiting ranks.
Wow, so, that's pretty good.
He is a special player. So now again, how we use him now, being not a pass happy offense, is going to be interesting. So we'll see.
Can I speak to that real fast? I
mean, yeah,
I'm in your area, and I don't act like I know any more than you do. I don't know nearly as much, but as I understand it, and you can tell me, I asked Urban Meyer on our podcast, by the way, we had him on his last podcast Friday, and he signed off by saying, we'll do this again. So, well, I guess we'll continue to do some of those podcasts, Urban, on the best Fridays in football, not for a while. But I've talked to him over the past 20-some weeks about the game. One thing he taught me, and I kept asking questions, and I want to see if you agree with this. The reason, obviously, you want mismatches. You were taught that as a quarterback under Spurrier. You're looking for the mismatch. You know, people think you go 1-2-3. You know, you don't always go 1-2-3. Sometimes your option, your tight end is your first option. I think the difference in this offense, I think, and Franz Beard and I talked about it last night, is that he came to Florida because he knows he's sometimes going to be a priority. They're going to run plays for the tight end. The tight end is not just a bailout position. This is a feature position, and because he is that, and Urban told me that, look, the reason the tight end is such a crucial guy piece, especially a flex tight end, the guy who catches and blocks like these guys do, is because you look at your defensive back, most teams are lucky to have two really good defensive backs, right? Maybe three, and nobody's got four. If your fourth option in your secondary is, you know, a nickel at, you know, whatever, and he's got to go up against Eric Gilbert or Kyle Pitts, he's in trouble. So, therefore, that's a mismatch you're going to look for more often. Mullen has exploited that aspect of it. That's how I understand it. Am I correct?
Yeah, and then the other thing, too, is if you go back to watch Florida last year, they used to put Kyle Pitts as the single receiver, whether he was attached or detached. And what that does, too, it also gives the quarterback a clear read. So think about this, buddy. Usually in man coverage, corners match up with receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, corner could come all the way over if you have a slot set.
Right.
But if you have a Kyle Pitts or an Eric Gilbert, they may keep the corner over there to play him man. And if that corner is undersized, you have a mismatch. But if you have a linebacker out there on him or a strong safety, you know it's man coverage, you also have a mismatch. So speed, it gives you mismatches, but it also allows the quarterback, before his pre-snap read, to kind of know, okay, I know what the coverage is.
Right.
Where's my best matchup? So if you have a guy as athletic as these guys are, like I told you, last year I thought Eric Gilbert was a wide receiver. He wore number two at LSU.
Right.
So when he lined up like all those other LSU receivers that were number one, number six, right, number four, they all look the same. But then once you look in the roster, the program, and see this dude's 6'5", 250, listed as a tight end, he is a huge, huge mismatch. And it's going to be fun to watch. But like I said, can we attack that area with quarterbacks that aren't the same type throwers as a Kyle Trask. You know, these guys can throw the football, but they're not as accurate. And what Kyle did so well was he threw the ball to Kyle Pitts, where sometimes when he threw the ball, you'd be like, no, do not throw that. But he trusted Kyle Pitts' catch radius, and Kyle would make some great plays.
Yeah, and that's where I call the alley-oop pass, which is so he was so masterful, the touch passes he threw. And again, I'm not going to get into it over my head, but if I've got trips left and I got a single guy out here in Kyle Pitts, how are you going to cover him? You know, and by the way, if you put a single coverage on, I know where I'm going to go. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things all I can do. So I'm learning about my football. But anyway, Eric Gilbert looks like he could be. The question is, can Emory Jones get him the football, which is kind of what you're saying in a way. Can he make those same throws that Pitts made, I mean, that Trask made, which remains to be seen. But I think Emory Jones is a better passer than people realize. I haven't seen him throw the touch pass yet to really know that.
Yeah, Emory's got a great arm. He just got to learn, you know, so either I don't know if you can learn it, but you got to know all the different speeds, different trajectories.
Like a pitcher in baseball, you got a fastball, right?
Yep, no doubt about it.
You had an 85 mile hour. I love that hat.
Says Chomp Harder. That's one of our new sponsors. Yeah. If you want to be in the contest, where all we do is draw a name out, go to potupwithshane.com. Put your name in there. We'll draw one out, I believe, either tomorrow or Thursday.
Hey, how do I get some more of these right here?
We can work on that for you.
I need some of those. People have been wanting those hats, and I don't know how to get them.
All right, we'll work on that off air.
And I'm going to get one of those Chomp hats from someplace.
We'll talk to our man Jimmy, and we'll get you one of those.
All right, Jimmy, hit me up, Jimmy.
All right, Mike White, what a big win for the Gators at West Virginia, buddy.
Yeah, you know the whole SEC Big 12 thing was unfortunately the cancellation of the Kentucky, but. I'm mystified about Mike White, and I don't want to be an apologist. I'm willing to call coaches out when they're wrong. You know, sometimes they are. I don't know that I'm always qualified necessarily, but I can see some things. I'm not blind. On the other hand, I'm mystified at how people continue to harp on Mike White. And the latest thing unfortunately, I was watching yesterday, and this gets me. What does that guy have to do to earn respect? Mike White's made some mistakes. So has Dan Mullen, by the way. But when you show up like he did, all right, think about what he went through with. They hit COVID, took him down completely. They were out 15 days, including their best player, was gone for the whole time. And you're going to come back, and now you've got to reinvent your offense and go to the post more and become more of a power physical team. And you got to remake it, and you come out and you find yourself. You kind of find your soul. You start beating teams. I mean, it was going to be such an embarrassment. We're going to get clobbered by Tennessee. Everybody's, oh, man, that's the bet of the century. 7 points, there. You know, they just beat the crap out of Tennessee. There, 26 points, right? So that game was in Gainesville, right? Is that in Gainesville?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so there's, okay, all right, I got a little fluke there. They come back and they play good again. They beat Georgia. They come back against – I get so tired. And I like Mark Wise a lot. I get so tired of people talking about how tough West Virginia is going to be. They're brother Bobby Huggins, this is a tough team. They don't, they don't take that crap. They're going to show they're more than Florida can. Let me tell you something. Florida played physical basketball. I love seeing them go on the floor for balls. They shot the ball well, which is the key. And they beat the number 11 team in the nation. And it really wasn't that close, although they had to come back late in the game. So now I'm hearing guys say, Mike White can't coach. Well, who's doing that? The players? And how can you say, well, they stumbled into it? Hello? Did Dan Mullen stumble into Kyle Trask? Well, you could say that, I guess. So yeah. I don't get it. And I think you don't have to say the second coming of Billy Donovan. He's not Billy Donovan. That's okay. But why people don't at least give him credit for what he's done is beyond me.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a great job this year, buddy. I mean, they've been through a lot. I think people just kind of forget about what happened to Keontae Johnson. This wasn't, one of the best player in the SEC going down with an ankle injury or a knee injury. I mean, this was life or death. And this shook up the coaching staff, shook up the entire team. And these kids had to grieve a little bit.
Good point.
And then you know, all the COVID stuff. It's been a headache, not just on the Gators, but everybody in sports and everybody in the world. But I think this team has shown a lot of grit. They're not going to win every game, and they may not play great against South Carolina tomorrow night. I think they'll win, but they could play poorly. It just happens. I mean, look at FSU. As well as they've been playing, they go on the road this past weekend and lose to a horrible Georgia Tech team. So it happens. But I think Mike and his staff have done a tremendous job. Regardless of what you want to say, how the rotation is now, and I love Scotty Lewis, but Scotty Lewis may be best coming off the bench. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, Trey Mann, you know, when he goes to the two and not the point, he probably plays a little bit better because
he's a scorer. He's in foul trouble. He's in foul trouble a lot lately.
Yeah, he's a scorer,
Trey,
though.
I'm a big Trey. I've been a fan of him since he played down the Villages. I like him a lot. What a young man he is. But, I mean, look at these talents. I mean, hey, look, let me ask you a question. How are things going in Chapel Hill these days?
How are things going in Durham? Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah, and Chapel Hill, but particularly Durham. But, I mean, the point is that did those guys become bad coaches all of a sudden, or what happened? You get my point. So I'm tired of people beating up on Mike White. He can handle his own fights. But here's my biggest thing. Let me say this. The lack of gratitude drives me insane. Gratitude. When Urban Meyer closed off on Friday, the show, I asked him about what he learned for the last 2 years. And he said his appreciation for basically humility and gratitude. He said, Tim Tebow taught me that. Gratitude. So thankful. How about having a little gratitude? You know? I mean, even losing 3 games in a row, which, by the way, yesterday Mike Griffin went on Feinbaum and said, well, the Gators lost 4 in a row at the end of the season. I text Feinbaum. I said, can he count? It's not 4. It's 3. There's a big difference. And by the way, one of them was Alabama. But nonetheless, don't make excuses. They lost 3 in a row. They got to own it. There's no question about it. But the gratitude of the season and the team where they played, Kyle Trask, gratitude. If fans just learn to have a little more gratitude for Shane Matthews and what he did at Florida and so on, and I'm saying you can criticize, that's okay, but have a little gratitude in your heart, folks.
I agree. At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do a mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Got a few more minutes with Buddy Martin here. You can follow him on Twitter at Buddy Show. Check him out Monday through Fridays on Facebook Live, The Buddy Martin Show. Buddy, guess who I got on my show tomorrow?
Well, it's not me. I know that.
Nope. I got Jason Higdon going to break down recruiting.
He's very good.
But I got some guy named Bobby Bowden on.
Good for you. I think that's wonderful. One of the best things I've seen this year was when Coach Spurrier was on with Bobby Bowden.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. I mean, football fans want to see that. Because you can hate FSU all you want to, but how can you not appreciate a man like Bobby Bowden? I mean, I know Coach Spurrier talks about it sometime, whatever, different thing. But, you know, everybody's not evil. That's good. That's a good get. What a coach, huh? What a coach.
Yeah. You know, I was recruited by Bobby. He ended up signing three kids from my high school, and two of them were Hall of Famers at FSU, believe it or not. That's what's crazy. Wow. From a small little high school in Mississippi. But, yeah, so we're looking forward to having him on there. And who you got on the show tonight, on your show?
Well, I got Coach Spurrier, among other people. How about that? Okay. I got you. And I think I'm going to go get Ainsley Lee of Gator Bait. She knows all about Chief Borders. She's a Chief Borders fan. He, of course, is a kid from Carrollton who comes highly recommended. He's the kind of guy you wake up one day and he's a Rhodes Scholar, you know, that kind of guy, what I'm told. So we'll get into recruiting a little bit there. And we're looking forward to talking to Coach Spurrier about you ever heard a guy named Tom McEwen?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm doing a column on Tom McEwen, and one of the things I want to talk to Coach Spurrier about is Tom McEwen, who was instrumental in Coach Spurrier's career, by the way.
Yes, he was.
Probably without him, he wouldn't have got the job with the Bandits. This is Tom McEwen. This is the Tom McEwen Bowl, as I called it. The Buccaneers are playing at home. I heard a great line. I'm going to use this in my column about COVID is so bad, even the Super Bowl had to stay home. And here's the Super Bowl being played in Tampa. And the guy who helped bring that team there, and I was in the media back in those days in St. Pete for 4 years and wrote about it too. The guy who helped bring that team there was Tom Kuehn, deceased Tampa Tribune sports editor. So this is a little tribute to Tom, a little tribute to Tampa, Tom Brady, et cetera. It's going to be a heck of a Super Bowl, and it's a special time down there in Tampa.
Absolutely. Well, buddy, we appreciate you taking time for us. We will talk to you tonight on your show, but time is out for Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
See you, man. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you tonight.
That's Buddy Martin. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. Hey, folks, make sure you follow and like us. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to talk. We're going to talk with Jason Hignan, a little Gator recruiting, and Coach Bobby Bowden from Florida State. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by Wrap Spot. Be good out there, folks. Take care. See you tomorrow.